You are listening to a message from Thrive Community Church, a church located in Southwest Florida. For more info, visit us at thrive-fl.org.
Well, good morning. My name is Todd, and if I have not met you, I just want to introduce myself and let you know, my wife Jennifer and I, we've been attending here for about 6 months or so. It's an honor, it's a privilege to be asked to do this, to give John a break. Just so you know, a little background, actually John and I just learned this morning. He went to Concordia College in Ann Arbor the exact same time I went to Concordia College in River Forest. He went to Concordia Seminary in St. Louis the exact same time I went to Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Graduated the same years, and our paths have never crossed. We just kind of talked about that this morning, but I feel like they have, and we're brothers, so that's the main thing. But it is an honor to be here to give John a break. And as I said, graduated from Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, pastored churches in central Louisiana, East Tennessee, South suburban Detroit area, and then returned back to my hometown of Decatur, Illinois. Was in ministry till 2015, stepped away from that, served in two social service agencies in Decatur, before then moving down here almost 4 years ago to manage a condo association down on Fort Myers Beach. And yes, we were here for Ian, and yes, we lost it all in Ian, but we've since moved. Our place down on the beach is almost done, but we bought another condo off Island Park Road, and I've gotten to meet some wonderful people. Some are here with me this morning, and we found Thrive. And I want you to know that how grateful Jennifer and I are to have this family. You came into our lives at exactly the right time. And we love this place. You have welcomed us. And not only welcomed us, but you have embraced us as part of this family. So thank you. And it's an honor and a privilege to be not only up here, but to be out there each and every Sunday. So that's enough of that. Here's where I want to go this morning. Back in 2015, I had a heart attack. Now, I hate the word heart attack. I like to call it a cardiac event. Heart attack is so violent, you know? A cardiac event sounds better. And anyway, so as a result of that, Jennifer and I decided we needed to do something to get healthy. And we found a program in Decatur called Learn to Run. And it's a 10-week program that will take you from literally sitting on the couch to in 10 weeks, you progressively build up the amount of time that you walk, run, until after 10 weeks, if you stick with the program, you'll be able to walk or run for 30 minutes without stopping. And we did that, and we enjoyed it. And so then the next year, we went back as volunteers and mentors to help other people, other new beginner runners, so they could do the same thing as well. And one of the things that I loved to do was, by this time, I wasn't pastoring anymore, but I loved encouraging people in that situation to say to them, as I'm running along with them, I believe in you. You can do this. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep going. Even if you got to stop and walk, keep going. Don't give up. And what is amazing is to see the transformation in people of what they once thought was impossible that they're actually able to do. They just needed somebody to believe that they could do it. That's what I want to talk about this morning. Two words that Jesus would have said to his disciples. The words in Hebrew are lech acharai. Lech acharai. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you in just a minute. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, for this place. We thank you for the opportunity to gather around your word and to hear what you have to say. Lord, I pray that each person in here. Not one of us is here by accident, but by your sovereign design. And I pray, Lord, that you will open hearts, keep the distractions away, and allow people to hear what you say, whether I say it or not. That's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in Matthew 4, and we're at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry when he's kind of going around the countryside gathering disciples, or in Hebrew, it would be called Talmudim. He's gathering disciples into his ministry. And so we start in Matthew 4, and just before I read it, just to say, one thing we have to be very careful when we open up God's word is that sometimes, well, put it this way. We have to remember that Jesus was a Jewish rabbi who lived in a Jewish part of the world, in a very Jewish culture, and everything around them was Jewish. And I think if we forget that sometimes, we can, if we rip Jesus out of context, we can make him A, say things maybe he didn't say, or B, lose the power behind what's really going on. And that's what I want to try to do this morning, is give you some background into what's going on and why this event is so amazing. Matthew 4, we start at verse 18. Words are on the screen. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, to understand really what's going on here, a little background. In those days, in the Jewish culture, good Jewish boys and good Jewish girls would begin their education at about the age of 6. They would go to a local synagogue and they would be trained by a local rabbi. This was called Bet Sefer. Bet Sefer means house of the book. And they would be in Bet Sefer from about age 6 to about age 10. And they would literally, as some sources would say, would stuff the kids with Torah. What's Torah? The first 5 books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Stuff them with Torah like an ox. And in those 4 years, these kids from 6 to 10 would memorize the entire Torah. Memorize. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, memorized. I mean, what did we memorize? You know, come and listen to my story about a man named Jed. I mean, we know that, right? They memorized in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth and so on and so on. 6 to 10, memorized. Now, for most, at age 10, their education would be over. The girls especially would go back home. The boys oftentimes would then go back and they would learn their family's trade. But for the best of the best of the best, they would go on. They would go on to something called Bet Talmud. Bet Talmud means house of learning. And so now for these boys from 10 to about the age of 14, are you ready? Would memorize the rest of the Old Testament. All 39 books of the Old Testament. And during Bet Talmud, the rabbi would watch. He would watch these boys. And he would see which one of them were the best of the best. And only a few hand-chosen, hand-picked boys would go on to the next level of education, which was called Bet Midrash, which means house of study. And in the house of study, they would not study the Bible, they would study the rabbi. They would study to learn to do what the rabbi did, to be like their rabbi. So a teenage boy who would apply to be the Talmudim, a disciple. The boy would go to the rabbi and say, "May I follow you?" And the rabbi would watch. And he would ask himself, "Can this kid be like me? Can this kid do what I do? Can this kid take on my yoke?" Which yoke was a Jewish way of saying my body of teaching. Can this kid be like me? And usually the rabbi would say, "Nope, can't cut it. Kid's got to go. Go on home, learn your family trade, tent making, sandal making, whatever. You can't be like me." But on occasion, the rabbi would look the boy in the eye, put his hand on his shoulders, and say these two words, "Lech acharei," come follow me. Leave your family, leave your business, leave the community, and devote your life to learning to be like your rabbi and follow him everywhere. Now, do you see Jesus' words to Peter and Andrew a little different? What was Jesus saying to Peter and Andrew? "I believe you have what it takes. I believe you can be like me. Lech acharei. Come, follow me." Can you imagine how that must have made them feel? Amazed, happy, shocked, a little scared? I would be. Now, before we go back to Matthew 4, I want to read you something. It won't be on the screen. Because this wasn't the first time that Peter had seen Jesus and Jesus had seen Peter. It says in verse 13 that leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum. What was he doing in Capernaum? He was watching. He was observing. He was looking around to see if there were any boys in that community that could be like him. Look at verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. What does that mean? They got sent home, didn't they? They weren't good enough. Bet Sefer, Bet Talmud, they maybe made it through that, but they didn't make it. They didn't make the cut. The rabbi in Capernaum didn't believe in them. The rabbi in Capernaum didn't believe they could be like him. But look at verse 19. And he said to them, "Lech acharei, come. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And what did they do? What to say? Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Can you imagine? The feeling that they must have had at that moment. He believes in us. He believes we can do it. We can be like him. I mean, is it any wonder why they just dropped it all? Left it all and followed him. See how the background kind of makes a little more to the story? Let me show you another place where this kind of applies. This is in Matthew 14. This is later on. Jesus now has called all of his Talmudim and they're in a boat. And watch what happens here. Immediately, he, being Jesus, made the disciples, Talmudim, get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there all alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. Why did Peter ask Jesus to tell him to come? What was this Talmudim asking his rabbi? Do you believe I can do it? Do you believe in me so much? Why? Because he was watching his rabbi doing something, walking on the water. Do you believe in me, Jesus, so much that you think I can be like you and walk on water as well? And what does he do? He does it. If Jesus can do it, so can I, and he does. And for a time, a mortal, sinful, mistake-ridden misfit named Peter did the impossible. For a time, this mortal Peter was doing what his rabbi was doing, and he made it all the way to Jesus. But then, watch what happens. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Literally, in the original Greek, that phrase, "Oh, you of little faith," it says literally, "Little faith, why did you doubt?" It's like Jesus is almost calling him a name. All right, little faith, way to go. But here's the thing. Who did Peter doubt? Who did Peter lose faith in? Who did Peter stop believing in? Jesus? No, Jesus is fine. He's on the water. Peter stopped believing what? That he could do it. Peter stopped believing that he could do what his rabbi said he could do. Did Peter fail? No. No, there were 11 other failures back in the boat that never even got out. No, Peter didn't fail. His faith was that he could be like his rabbi, that he could do what his rabbi did was so strong, so evident, that for a time he was able to do what most would say is physically impossible. Here's what I love about this event. Before Jesus says to them, "Lech acharai, come, follow me," they thought they were passed over. They thought they were unusable. They were less than. Couldn't cut it. B team, second string. But in Jesus' eyes, they weren't. And here's what I love even more about this whole story. That Jesus says to us, "Lech acharai, come, follow me." And like them, maybe we're all a little amazed because we thought, passed over, unusable, damaged goods, not good enough, unequipped, too old, too young, too sinful to be used. But in Jesus' eyes, I'm telling you this morning, you aren't. He says to them and to me, and to you, "I believe in you. I believe you can do it. I believe you can be like me." See, we've been told, and rightfully so, that we need to believe in Jesus. And I hope that you do. But what I'm learning is that Jesus also believes in me. Jesus also believes in you. We've been told, have faith in God, but I'm learning that God has faith in me. God has faith in you. We can be like our rabbi. But maybe you're saying, "Ah, but you don't know me." Well, no, Maybe I don't, but Jesus does. And he's calling. He's saying to you this morning, Lekakarai, come follow me. I believe in you. I believe you can do what I do. You can be like me. But we don't always believe that, do we? I know I don't always. I haven't always. Confession time. When I was in Illinois, I went through a divorce and took some time away from ministry. I didn't want to drag a church through all of that. And but in that time, folks would come up to me and they would say, God's not done with you yet. You know, don't give up on all of this. But I have to admit that after that, I felt like there was this cloud, this dark cloud that followed me wherever I went. Maybe a little guilt, maybe some condemnation, like God couldn't bless me anymore. God and certainly couldn't bless any church that I would pastor. Until one day, a group of us went to a conference in Indianapolis. And there was a lady that was speaking there. And as she was speaking, she kind of shared that she had always felt a little bit of a cloud because she was a woman speaking in ministry in what is traditionally kind of a male-dominated profession. And she always felt a little, you know, kind of bad about that. Until she felt like one day she heard God say this. God knew I was a woman when he called me, and he called me anyway. Now, that's what she said. But here's what I heard. God knew I would get a divorce when he called me, and he called me anyway. And I wrote that down on a tablet, and I kept that tablet until Ian took it away. But I've had that forever because that meant so much to me. And at that moment, the weight fell off me. The cloud was gone. And forever, I no longer felt that condemnation, that guilt, because I knew God knew that when he called me, but he called me anyway. And so here's my question to you. What is it that you've done? What is it that you think has condemned or disqualifies or makes you not good enough? What is it that you've done that makes you feel passed over, unfit, B-team? Two words. One, a word from me, and the other, a word from Jesus. First, the word from me. God knew you would do that when he called you, but he called you anyway. And number two, words from Jesus. Lekakarai. Come, follow me. He believes in you. He thinks you can do it. He thinks you are able. He knows, but he's calling you anyway. That fact inspired Peter so much that he was able to do what? The impossible. He was able to walk on water. That fact inspired Andrew and James and John so much that they left everything to follow this rabbi from Nazareth. For many in the Learn to Run program, someone would say to them, in a way, Lekakarai, come, follow me. Learn how to run. And I believe much of people's success in the Learn to Run program is based on the internal belief and them hearing somebody say, you can do this. Somebody believes in me. And they answered the call. And so they showed up week after week. And at the end of 10 weeks, they did something that 10 weeks before their mind and their body thought was impossible. Run for 30 minutes without stopping. Maybe it's time you answer the call. Maybe for some, you'll answer that call for the very first time because now you know, and I hope you believe that he believes in you and you really can be like him. But maybe for others, little story. I was asked to preach one time at a retirement service for a pastor who had been in the same congregation for about 25 years. He'd been in ministry for over 40, same church for about 25. And before I preached, I heard whispers from the congregation, from his congregation. And they were saying things like, well, preacher's retiring, I guess I will too. And so when I got up to speak to that congregation that Sunday morning, this is basically what I said. Why retire when you can re-enlist? Why retire when you can re-enlist? Maybe even some here are saying, I'm too old. God can't use me anymore. Hear him. Jesus is calling, recalling you. Lekakarai, you can do it. He's not done with you either. He believes in you. You are able. He can use you maybe way beyond your wildest dreams. Now, what does that mean for any of you? I have no idea. But let's stop with the cloud mentality, okay? He knows. And I think most of the time, we tend to overemphasize our own actions, whether good or bad. And we underemphasize God's free, undeserved grace and love that Jesus has for each one of us. And not on the basis of how good we are or how bad we are, but on the basis that Jesus just has this thing for you. And he doesn't want to live without you. So he did it all. And he paid it all for you in full. There's a song done by Darlene Check from Hillsongs in Australia. It's an older song, but I want to put the words up. And I want you to just let these words sink deep into you this morning. The song is called So You Would Come, and this is what it says. Nothing you can do can make him love you more. Nothing that you've done can make him close the door. Do you get that? Because of his great love, he gave his only son. Everything was done. So what? So you would come. He knows. He's still calling. He still believes in you. He died for you. He forgives you. He loves you. And now he's calling you. Come, Lekakarai, follow me. He wants you to believe in yourself as much as he believes in you. And remember what Jesus said much later on to his disciples. He said this, you did not choose me, but I chose you. In a few minutes, we're going to take communion. And in that bread and that wine, we receive the body and the blood that screams from heaven, I love you and I forgive you. Maybe today, as you eat that bread and drink that wine, receive that body and receive that blood, you can hear Jesus whisper in your ear, I believe in you. You can be like me. Yes, it's all about believing in Jesus. But I also need to remember that Jesus believes in me. You need to remember that Jesus believes in you. Follow him and see where he leads you. Because it might even mean, in the end, doing something that before you thought was impossible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done so we could come. We thank you for believing in us so much that you think we can be like you. So Lord, I just pray that you will speak to each one of us, whatever that means, to try it, do it, take that risk, step out of that boat. Because sometimes when you do, you actually walk on water. That would be amazing. And that's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.